Welcome to Leader Feeder. I'm Suzanne, and I'm here with Kirk, our general manager. And today we're going to talk about communication silos in manufacturing organizations. So how, Kirk, the first question I want to ask is, how can we know if silos are even present in our organizations?
So when we talk about silos, we're talking about these either teams or departments or small groups of people who aren't really communicating well. Communication is what you were mentioning, so
right.
Who aren't communicating with one another, right? They're kind of just doing their thing, existing in their own little bubble, as it were, right?
Right.
That's what we mean by a silo. So I think there's a couple different ways you can see, but probably the biggest one is maybe in the comments that people make when they might say things like, well, I don't know what that team's doing. I don't know that they changed that. I'm not aware of that. So I think it starts to happen as a, oh, I didn't know that was happening. I didn't know they did that. I didn't know it was supposed to be done like that.
Right.
And you generally, I think, hear that from maybe the frontline leaders, but probably the frontline leaders would be hearing that from the employees, this sense of not knowing what another team or department was doing, or even being told maybe to sort of butt out, you know, oh, that's that department, that's purchasing, they do what they do, you know, we're doing our thing, let them do theirs.
I was just going to ask, like, do you think that's also from frontline leaders telling them that's none of your business?
It can be, yeah, for sure. It can create, that's how you can create a silo.
Oh,
like, you first asked,
right.
How do you know that one is existing, right? But I think you can also hear, I think it's a little bit more antique-y or sort of old-timey to say that, but you still hear the odd time this idea of, you know, I don't pay you to think, I pay you to do your job.
Right.
And I think when that happens, it might be because someone's asking a question that maybe the leader doesn't have an answer to, or they're saying like, hey, can we communicate better with another department or a team because we have, something that's not getting done properly or not working well. And instead of going, yeah, you're right, we should communicate, they're told sort of stay in your lane.
Right.
And that can be really frustrating, but it also does create that silo because the leader, in a way, is sort of controlling the communication that goes in or out of their team.
That makes sense. So yeah, so if just I'm a frontline leader and I'm in charge of production,
mm-hmm.
and we don't know what's happening with, say, ordering,
yeah.
right, or purchasing.
Yeah.
But I feel like that could almost happen by accident, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, or not even meaning to do, and not so much saying as, like you said, the old timey where
yeah,
people are like,
yeah.
stay in your lane, but even just like subconsciously,
mm-hmm.
like you're so probably so busy that
just
you're just focusing on
mm-hmm.
your team and mm-hmm. your job and how they're performing that, you know, you don't really, doesn't
yeah.
really matter. So
yeah.
how would you encourage like some cross interdepartmental communication.
Mm-hmm. Before I answer that, I
yeah,
want to go
please.
Back to that point you made because I thought it was really good that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not always that there's this sort of old-timey sense of power or control where the leader is purposely leaving people from or stopping people from
mm-hmm.
connecting with other
right.
teams or departments. You're right. It's not always this sort of nasty, malicious thing. It's sometimes more they're just so focused on getting their work done, on getting their team's performance where it needs
mm-hmm.
to be, that if someone asks a question about something outside of their scope, mm-hmm. it's normal to go, I don't know anything about that. Honestly, that's not my job. You know, I just have to focus on what I've been asked to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that way, you're right. It's not malicious. It's more just, I can only handle so much.
Yep.
So it's tough for me to be able to think of other departments and other teams. I think that can be seen as that's a problem that's not my responsibility to fix.
Right. Yeah, kind
even
of what
though,
you were saying in the very beginning
yeah.
is how you know you're siloed,
yeah.
right?
Even though in any organization, when there's disconnect between departments or teams or employees, that's going to show in the work. That's going to show in the satisfaction of the employees. That's going to show in how motivated people are because people want to feel connected and they want to feel like they understand
mm-hmm.
How they fit into the bigger picture.
Right.
And so as a leader, and another part is that as a leader, a big part of your job is to get results through your team by removing barriers and obstacles. That's a big part of your job as a leader is to go, oh, you are struggling with this. Let me help you make it easier.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're not able to do this because of this. Let me help remove that. Right.
Yep.
And so if you're not doing that, if your team is bringing up communication silos that are existing or they've been, you know, they've been created and no one's doing anything to remove those barriers.
Mm-hmm.
It's your job as a leader to try a little bit. And even though I think it can be really tough, I think it can be, you know, you got a lot on your plate already. I think you have to make that effort to go, okay, you've brought up that there's this communication silo you're dealing with. There's this sense of frustration. I have to do something to try to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
So to your other question,
right.
which was, of course, how do we
well,
start?
Well, I was going to yeah. actually maybe just interrupt for a second
sure,
because
sure.
I kind of want to change my question. We were talking about, you know, the departments, different departments, right?
Right.
I actually thought maybe we could just like narrow this in like a bit more because we do talk talk about, you know, shift A and shift B. And I thought this could maybe be like a really good example of how could shift A, you know, or the morning shift or whatever you want to call them. You know, I feel like just hearing you talk about those, like what you were just saying, that I can see this occurring even within the same department, but just with different teams.
Yes.
So kind of like 100%. To reword my question, like how can we encourage, you know, the teams to communicate more effectively?
Well, one of the things that we talk about in our frontline leadership course a lot is a shift start meeting or a shift handover meeting, a shift handoff meeting, right? And that's a time where if there's if it's possible, depending on the shift, there's a slight overlap in when one shift is going off and one shift is coming on. And so that might be the two team leaders meeting for a couple of minutes just to talk about how things are being left and how the new shift is picking things up. That's one option. If the scheduling doesn't allow for that to happen, the overlap to happen, simply leaving communication. Maybe it's a logbook, for example, to list, hey, here's what's happened. And that logbook, of course, could be a physical book. It could also be, you know, an online thing. It could be just an email that you send to the next shift leader, for example. But some sort of communication to say, here's what went well. Here's what obstacles we faced this shift that you might want to be aware of. You know, here's kind of where we're at in terms of meeting our targets and our goals, for example. So sharing that so that the person coming in isn't blindsided and comes in after reading that email or that message going, oh, I know where things are starting off, right? Maybe it's a silly example, but you know, when I was growing up out in the country, we used to bale straw, right? We'd bale 20,000 bales, 40,000 bales of straw some years, and they were those small square bales, right? And most of the time we would try to load up all the wagons and in the morning we would mow them, you know, into the barn. But sometimes you wouldn't quite get everything unloaded before in the morning. So then come the next day when you're going to bale, you maybe have a half-filled wagon or something. And there's those little bits of communication that get missed, which is, are we doing 7 high or 8 high? Are we loading it 6 across or are we doing 4 across, right? Oh, this wagon's going to John and John only wants 100 bales, so we don't need to do a full 8 high load 6 wide, right?
Yep.
If that communication never gets given to the next people finishing the wagon, they're going to go, why is this wagon being loaded so poorly? You know, there's only 100, going to be 100 bales on this. What's going on, right? So it's little things like that where there's got to be communication between the shifts, and a shift handoff meeting is a really wonderful way, a really effective way, I should say, to do that.
No, that's great. Thanks, all those tips. I'm also kind of like starting to connect some dots or weave the thread because so I'm a frontline leader. I have maybe the shift that I'm watching with my team members. And then, you know, Sally comes in and she's taking on, you know, the night shift or, you know, something like that. So not only are we trying to break the communication silos amongst those two teams, but also Sally and I need to be on the same page as to how we're running our shifts. And also talk to, that's where then you want to also kind of be informed as to what the other departments are doing and making sure that things align that way. Do you have any, this is a big question, but do you have any strategies or tips for how the frontline leader then can talk to, or tools they can use to talk to other departments to make sure that those communication silos are, you know, breaking down or continue to, you know, don't continue, I should say?
Good question. It will really depend, I think, on the organization, right? There's a lot of factors there that determine how much face time they would have with someone from another department, the extent to which those two departments are intertwined, how much they need to interact, not just from a communication interaction perspective, but also how much does purchasing have to do with ordering, have to do with production, have to do with quality, you know, how much do they actually interact in that sense?
Okay.
But I would say that the first thing is recognizing that there is a silo. So if you're a frontline leader, just asking yourself, you know, are my people feeling or making mention to me that, oh, I feel left out. We feel like we don't know what's going on. I think that's maybe an initial identifier that there's a communication silo. Okay. Then the next thing is once you've recognized that there is some kind of a silo, I think it's then talking to your leaders, so the managers, about what can be done about it. So asking for their advice, say, hey, my people are feeling a little bit left out in the dark. We'd like to know how we can improve that. Maybe coming to the table with some suggestions, like maybe you can have interdepartmental meetings. That's an option.
Right.
I know we're always wary to add another meeting to anyone's schedule. And for a lot of frontline leaders, especially if they're sort of lead hands, like they're on the floor, they can't necessarily be away for hours in meetings, right?
Of course.
But I think if you can then identify what is it that, you know, we've identified there's a silo. What is it that my people need to know or would like to know in order to make things better? So you're not just sitting at a meeting going, my people feel left out. I'm going, well, what do they want to know? Instead, you'd come to that meeting or you'd go to your manager with the information of, hey, think that having this information would help them do their job better, would help them meet targets, would help mm-hmm. them understand their value, whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. So kind of coming to the table with really specific information that you're looking for will help, because then you're not going to that other department and going, can you just share info with us? And they're kind of, well, that's a lot. What do you need? Why do you need right. it? Instead, you're saying, could you tell us X, Y, and Z? And this is why it's going to help us, or this is how it's going to help us. So that would be probably my biggest suggestion is identify very specifically what info you feel like is stopping mm-hmm. your team from feeling in the know, right? Or getting the info they need. And then go to either your managers or even talk to the other team leaders on other teams if you can, and ask them for that specific information. That's what I would say is the starting point to breaking down those communication silos.
That's great. If we have frontline leaders that are listening that are probably pulling a lot of great information out of this, what sorts of leadership traits, I suppose, or skills, if someone wanted to get better at, you know, communicating or things like that, are there certain leadership skills or traits that maybe come along with a good communicator, or that are good at breaking down, you know, those communication silos. Gaps, mm-hmm. those silos? Yeah.
Probably when it comes to communication, and in this instance specifically, or with this subtopic kind of communication silos, I would say the ability to ask questions and the ability to listen effectively. The questions are, you know, you asking specifically to your team, hey, what info could I find out for you that would help make your life easier, that would help do your job better, right? So that's asking good questions. And often asking good questions is about asking open-ended questions. So not just, do you want the info? Or is this making your life hard? Or whatever it might be. Instead, it's what information would help you do your job better? Or in what ways do you feel like you don't have the information that you need, and how is it affecting you? Mm-hmm. So open-ended questions are good. And the other part is effective listening. So when you ask someone a question, you need to listen thoughtfully and actively about the answer. And I don't mean thoughtfully going, you know, you become a philosopher overnight.
Right.
What I mean is, of course, just listening truly for the answer and making sure that when they're giving you the answer, you're acknowledging it, and also even asking follow-up. So, hey, I just want to make sure that before I go to purchasing, I understand what it is you want me to talk to them about. Did I get this right? Yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to find out. Perfect. Now I know that I'm asking the right question. So mm-hmm. asking good questions
yep.
and I think effective listening are two really pivotal skills when you're trying to break down communication silos. Because if you also go to that other team or that other department and you know, you go to them, you're going to be asking, you have to ask good questions to them as well.
Right,
and then
absolutely.
You have to listen effectively to be able mm-hmm. to take that message back to your team.
Mm-hmm.
So in both cases, in terms of getting information from your team and then also learning from the other teams or departments, I think asking good questions and effective listening are top skills.
Yeah, those are great quality mm-hmm. skills to have, aren't they? Leadership skills. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Kirk. Thanks for the conversation today. It
you're
was
very
great.
Welcome. My pleasure.
Thank you for joining us today on the Leader Feeder. Have a wonderful day.